Something for the weekend. It's Trina Mari here, and in studio we're joined by the fabulous Aisling Powell. Good morning, Aisling. How are you?
Morning, Trina. Thanks so much for having me.
Had to get you in because I see you've been nominated for an award, don't you know? So you're up for Best Brow Artist at the Image Awards, the Image Business of Beauty Awards. That's brilliant.
I know. I'm absolutely thrilled. I have to say it's something that I've obviously seen for years and years, and always in the sidelines I'm like, God, maybe one day someone will recognise my brow obsession, which has turned into a business.
So it's Empower by Aisling is your brow business. So tell us all about that. How did you actually get into the brow obsession?
I always had it. I started off, my background is actually model making and special effects for film. So it wasn't makeup that I had generally gotten into when I started. So first of all, film was kind of my starting point. So I always wanted to kind of turn people into creatures and make them really ugly as opposed to making people really good looking. And that was more the prosthetic side. So that's kind of why I did model making. But when I did it, I realized I had to do a makeup diploma to be able to apply it for film. So I did that. And having worked in the prosthetic industry and in film for years, I realized when I actually did a makeup, like a general makeup for somebody, that was when I kind of got job satisfaction. So if I could make somebody look really good and they were like, you know what, I've just had a baby and I feel really shit and I just feel amazing now. That gave me that job satisfaction as opposed to making someone really ugly. So having worked on loads of different counters, so with film we only did kind of 6 months on and 6 months off. So I would have worked in between in MAC, in Stila, in Laura Mercier, NARS, you name it, Estee Lauder, Chanel, loads of them. But having done that, I kind of got a taste for faces. And when I was doing makeup, the one thing I couldn't not do when I was doing it was eyebrows.
Really?
And I found that made such a huge difference. And this is before brows were a thing. So I remember years and years ago when I was working in MAC, I was out with my husband now, but my boyfriend at the time. And I met a woman in the bathroom in a yacht club, and she was quite upset. And her ex-boyfriend was outside, and she was just saying she looked a mess. And she couldn't go out there. And I ended up just fixing her eyebrows, like her face quickly. I was like, listen, I'm a makeup artist. I could do something quick if you want, you know. Quickly fixing her face. And just that was eyebrows and a little bit of a contour, a tiny fix up. But eyebrows make such a massive difference. And she ended up loving it so much. And she was like, what's your name? And I told her. And she ended up being the editor of a very big magazine.
Ah, stop it. Now, this sounds something like this sounds like an absolute makey-uppy story, actually. I'm telling you now.
But she wrote a piece about me doing eyebrows. And next thing, there was a queue out the door for MAC asking for me to do their eyebrows. But we, in MAC, we weren't insured to do eyebrows. We never did them. We weren't allowed, you know. So it just, I suppose it always was in me. I always could never, if you'd come to me as just a makeup client, I would have always have had to have done your eyebrows before doing your makeup.
Did you leave the makeup counters then and decided to set up yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, so after film, I suppose I kind of worked in all aspects of makeup. So I'd done the film thing, and I thought it was something that I would kind of spend my career doing. I suppose it's a different life. It's a tough life to be involved in because you're up very early in the morning and then you're kind of home very late at night, and then you're not sure.
I'm just laughing here, Aisling, because you're about to become a mum.
I know.
You've done all the practice. I hate to tell you, there are early mornings and late nights involved in being a mum.
I thought I put that behind me 10 years ago. God, I know. But once I had done that, I ended up kind of moving more towards the fashion industry in Ireland. And I, at least with the fashion industry, I got the hours were a bit better and the creativity was great. So it was lovely to be able to come up with an idea, and that was then the front cover of a magazine or an editorial or an advertorial insight. So it was really lovely. But I suppose in Ireland, in the fashion industry, there's not a huge amount of money for makeup artistry anymore. There was then. There's not now. So once I'd kind of done that, and I mean, look, I have my work was published, and I was very lucky in my career. I was working actively in the fashion industry, and I could say probably most of the big magazines I've had work published in, which is amazing. And I loved that I have achieved that, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And then after that, I kind of worked mainly on counters and weddings, and I would have travelled all over Ireland and abroad. So this year alone, I've been in Rome, France and Spain doing weddings.
Wow.
So next year, that's not happening, obviously.
No, she's doing nappies next year.
Nappies is what's happening, 24 hours a day. Yes,
can exactly. I ask you the films that you worked on?
I started on The Clinic. So The Clinic was my first job.
Oh, I love The Clinic.
With Amy. Yeah, yeah. She was such a lovely, I can't say nice enough
Amy
things
Huberman
about
we're
her.
Talking yeah. about.
And that was my very first job. And then I moved from that. I did a feature film called Kisses, which is on every Christmas. It's about two little kids running away in inner city Dublin. So that was really nice. Then I did The Tudors. So I don't know if you know The Tudors.
Oh, I'm sure yeah.
And I moved from that to Primeval. So would have worked on the prosthetics on Primeval as well. So.
Oh, wow. That's deadly.
Savage Eye. I don't know if you know.
Of course.
How could you not?
It was
but loads. God, I'd have to even. And then loads of music videos and things like that. I'm trying to. And ads, like loads of like Heineken ads. I mean, I'd have to, it's 16 years of that industry. I'd have to even have a look and go, yeah. What have I done actually at
I
this
know,
stage?
Amazing.
I'm kind of so far out of it. But
So then setting up then the brow business, tell me about that.
So then I decided, I wanted to do something. I suppose when you work in counters and things like that, it's sales. You're primarily a salesperson. And I suppose I wanted a job where I wasn't selling things to people. I wanted to just help people look better. I grew up with really terrible acne. So from 12 to...
Get out, you didn't.
Horrendous. It was awful. Yeah. 12 to 18. And actually, there's an article I wrote about it, a very honest article on beaut.ie that I wrote about growing up with acne, if you want to read it. But emotionally, I can't even read it anymore, but photos and everything. Yeah. So I think having that, for me, makeup was never something that kind of you used as a mask. It was a necessity.
Okay, yeah.
So I had to wear it to just leave my house. Like, so for me travelling in on the Dart, people would look at you and they'd kind of, I had blue and purple skin at one point because my acne was so bad, and they'd got me on so many different things. So the products wise and for
medication and stuff and everything, yeah.
Yeah. So for me, just being able to wear a really full coveraged foundation and actually get from Glenageary to town without somebody coming up to me and passing comment. Now, there were good and bad comments, but, you know.
Why would a complete stranger pass a comment on somebody?
Well, I mean, some of them were elderly ladies who were like, oh, have you tried Clearasil? It worked for my daughter, or, you know, that kind of thing. And they don't realise you've been through like four different dermatologists in 5 years.
You're like, oh, God, I never thought of that. Thanks
Maybe
for
I
that.
Should wash my face. Should I do that? I mean, give up sweets? Is that what you're going to tell me? But I mean, I suppose if you'd look at me, I never would wear a huge amount of makeup. I'm not the modern day, I think they're called MUAs now. I wouldn't.
They are, yes.
Yeah.
I had to Google that recently because I didn't know what MUA stood for.
You and me
artist.
Both. You and me both at one point, yeah. So I got to a point where on Facebook I was seeing loads of people with this MUA after their name, and I was like, what is this? Is it a cult? Is it what is this? Is it a qualification? I mean, I've never seen it, but I mean, back when I did it, it was an art. There were four people in my makeup class. That was it.
Yeah.
And now there's
so many people blogging and everything, isn't there, about
it's
it?
It's massive. Yeah,
yeah,
it's become massive.
So,
but different, I suppose, for us, the older style makeup
us
artists.
Us ones is what you're trying
old
to say.
Us ladies, yeah. We were kind of more fixated on the art of it as opposed to painting our own faces. You know, it was more about creating, I suppose, an image for somebody or just enhancing somebody's natural beauty, if that makes
sense.
That's
what I love. I hate the really heavy, heavy makeup that you see now. What made you then concentrate
in
the brows then?
Yeah,
or how did you set that up? Or how did you decide to go down that route?
So I opened Empower, and I remember looking for a name. I opened it 6 years ago, actually, on the 2nd of February, 6 year anniversary, which is lovely to be in here at this time, I suppose. And again, I was talking to my dad about trying to find a name for it, and I was trying to say, like, how do you differentiate when you open a business? How do you differentiate from the Mac, from Inglot or whatever, that it's different? And he was like, well, tell me what you're trying to do. And I explained to him, you know, I wanted to help people look better on the outside that would emulate inside and make them feel better and give them confidence, but not overpower them with makeup, you know. And he was like, well, that you're trying to empower them. And I was like, well, that's it. That's what I'm doing. So I suppose that's why I called it Empower by Aisling. Well, Empower Studio to start off with. But as I was doing, I started in makeup and I always would have kind of naturally done people's brows when they came in. So it was like they were getting two treatments in one before even HD brows was a thing, you know. Their makeup appointment would include their brows, but I just wasn't charging for it, if that made sense.
Yeah.
And then people started coming to me and asking just for me to do their brows, and how much was that? And I was like, oh god, I hadn't really even thought about it, and I hadn't even got a qualification for it, even though I had a makeup qualification and a degree in art.
You were just good at it.
I just loved it. I just think the difference that a brow can make in someone's face was just so massive.
Because like, not everybody is good at brows. I've often been into beauty salons and you're looking for someone to do your brows and they might say to you, the girl that does them isn't in today or whatever. You're kind of going, I thought you would all do them, but there's definitely some people who just love it.
Yes.
And they're the ones to book, really.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? It's maths and it's also symmetry. It's art. So you've got to be able to look at somebody's features. You've got to be able to look at if they have kind of a small feature or a larger features. You've got to measure their face using those features. You've got to know what will suit them or what way their face and their facial muscles work. So the lift has to be at the right place on their forehead to give them a nice natural lift, but not a descending brow that can really bring people down, or something too high that can just make you look a little bit more comical or like a clown.
Love the old clown look.
Yeah, or like darkness. When HD brows did come out, everybody was going around with these big black thick eyebrows.
I had a bit of a disaster once upon a time. I remember deciding one day I was gonna go, and it wasn't the HD brows that I was getting done, but I noticed a few grey hairs on the L eyebrows, and I said, I'm going to go and get these tinted for the first time ever. And they were tinted and they were shaped very badly. And I arrived into work, and the lovely PJ Gallagher, who works here, said that it looked like I had two iPhones stuck to my head.
That was nice of him.
Two black iPhones, and I'm blonde, so you can imagine.
Wow. Yeah. And
you have to be careful.
But it's so shocking. You see, what people don't realize is that your eyebrows are such a focal feature on your face, and they make such a huge impact. So for somebody to completely look at you and put a black eyebrow on your skin tone, on your hair coloring, is just going to make such a big difference. And also with dark, it makes the brow look bigger and thicker.
Oh, it was so
anyway.
Thick. It was like...
yeah.
God. It was like 1980s. Yeah,
it's scary for you, you know?
So I rang my hairdresser for some advice, and she said, get out the Head and Shoulders and start washing your... I was washing my eyebrows with Head and Shoulders and a toothbrush.
Oh my God.
Because apparently it helps strip the colour.
Like carbonate of soda is great for that.
Okay.
Lemon is another little hint. Or if you had, you know, the peroxide that if you were... I wouldn't even go down messing with peroxide if you didn't know. But you know the really lightweight peroxide you would use to mix an eyebrow tint anyway?
Okay.
It's so, so light. It's like 0.01% of a peroxide. It would almost strip like an oil as opposed to colour. So that can really help as well.
Okay.
But well, time. Time.
I know. I couldn't wait for time. So Aisling, you're going to come back to us next week and talk about mistakes people are making with their brows and give lots of advice. But first of all, I want to say the best of luck with the Image Awards. When are they on? How can we vote for you as best brow artist?
So it's on the Image website, actually. So if you go on to the Best in Beauty on image.ie, you will see. And you don't, I know there's loads of people to vote for. You don't need to go in and specifically vote for everybody. If you don't know people, you can just vote for one person if you wanted, or you can vote for a few of them. You don't need to do
Aisling Powell is who you need to vote for.
Thank
you. Hope this doesn't get you into trouble now, does it?
I hope so.
It was me that was steering people in that direction. You say nothing. So there you go. So best of luck with that, and sure, you're going to be back next week, so no point in wishing you the best of luck with the baby just yet.
Yes.
Well, hopefully baby's not going to arrive that early. Thanks very much for coming in. How can we get in touch with you, Aisling, by the way?
So empowerbyaisling.com, and it's AISLING.
This is Something for the Weekend on Classic Hits.